This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today's sermon is based on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 15. And the title for today's sermon is, The Prodigal Father. Wait a minute, some of you say. Pastor, don't you mean the prodigal son? Our gospel reading is about the prodigal son. Well, yes, the younger son is a prodigal, but so is his father. How can that be, you wonder? Well, first we need to understand the meaning of that word, prodigal. In my Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, it gives the following definitions for the word prodigal. It gives three of them. The first one is recklessly extravagant. The second definition is lavish. And the third definition is luxuriant. Now, I'd like to suggest that these definitions of the word prodigal describe both the younger son as well as his father, just in different ways. So let's examine our gospel reading more closely, and I'll show you what I mean. Jesus tells us a story about a father who has two sons, and the younger son wishes his father were dead. That's right, dead. Why do I say that? Well, the younger son is tired of waiting for his father's inheritance. The son wants his share of his father's money now, and he's tired of waiting for his father to die. So the son goes up to his father and he says, "Give me my share of the estate." Now imagine how that request must have hurt his father. The father was probably thinking, doesn't my son love me? Is all he cares about is my money? Well, even so, the father agrees to his son's selfish request and divides up his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packs up his money and he leaves home and he travels to Vegas with plans to party down. Okay, I admit Vegas didn't exist back then, but the son went to some place like Vegas where he could squander his wealth in wild living. That means he stayed at the best hotels. He could have any woman he wanted at the right price. He bought the most expensive booze and the most fancy clothes. And boy, did he have friends hanging around him as long as he was buying. Here we see that the word prodigal describes him very well. He was recklessly extravagant, lavish, and luxuriant with his father's money. In fact, he spent his father's money like there was no tomorrow. Well, eventually his money ran out. On top of that, the local economy tanked because of a severe famine. As a result, he was hungry and homeless, and his friends were nowhere to be found because he no longer had any money. So what did he do? Well, he took the only job he could find, feeding pigs. Now, this job must not have paid very much because he was so hungry that his only option was to eat the pig slop. But his miserly employer wouldn't even let him have that. Finally, after he hit rock bottom, he came to his senses and realized what a foolish prodigal he had been. This teaches us something. Sometimes people have to hit rock bottom before they're willing to see their own sin and look for help. And that's what happened to this younger son. He realizes that life back home with his father wasn't so bad after all. In fact, even his father's servants had it better than he did at this time in his life. Of course, the younger son assumes that his father would never welcome him back as a son, not after his prodigal behavior. So he decides that he will confess his sin and then beg his father to take him in as one of his servants. At least then he could have a place to sleep and food to eat. So with that in mind, the younger son begins his journey back home. But then something happens in Jesus' story that takes everyone by surprise. As the younger son approached his home, we're told that his father saw him from a distance. And then the father displayed some extreme prodigal behavior. First, we're told that the father ran to his son. Now you have to understand something about the culture of that day. Unlike today, where people actually go jogging because they want to, back then, nobody ran unless they absolutely had to. In fact, the only people who usually ran were young children, because they didn't know any better, and slaves. But a well-to-do older person, such a person would never think of running in public, because that would be humiliating. But Jesus says that the father ran to his son. The father humbled himself publicly like a servant and ran to his son. And once he gets to his son, the father then displays more prodigal behavior. The father pours out recklessly extravagant affection, lavish love, and luxuriant mercy on his son. The same son who wished he was dead and then wasted all his money. Now at this point, we must ask the question, how does Jesus' story apply to us? Well, we need to realize how our Heavenly Father has been a prodigal with us, even though we are often guilty of being just like that younger son. Let's face it. We sometimes treat God just like that younger son treated his father. I mean, we want all the prosperity and all the physical blessings that the Father can give us, but we don't always desire a loving personal relationship with Him, do we? We want the stuff He can give us, but then we turn our backs on Him and do our own thing. My friends, God has poured out His blessings upon us, and yet we are all sometimes guilty of living prodigal lives. And by that I mean we use God's time, we use the talents He has given us, and we use the treasures He has given us in selfish and sinful ways. But even though we have sinned against our Heavenly Father more times than we can imagine, He still longs to pour out His affection, love, and mercy on us in a prodigal manner. But here's what you need to understand. Our Father cannot do that for us unless we come to our senses and return home. Unless we're willing to confess our sin and come back to our Father, we will die as spiritual orphans in a foreign land. And so God calls us to come to our senses and come home, where He is waiting to pour out His affection, love, and mercy on us in a prodigal manner. Remember these words of God from the Old Testament book of Hosea? Hosea says, "Return to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, 'Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously.'" And my friends, the good news for us repentant sinners is that God will run to you and pour out his affection and love and mercy on you in a prodigal manner. In fact, we heard the same thing about our God in our first reading from Exodus. Listen to what God says about himself there. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. However, at this point, one of you might say, wait a minute, Pastor, that sounds wonderful, but Pastor, what about what God goes on to say in our first reading? He goes on to say, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Well, Pastor, we're all guilty sinners. We are. So what hope is there for us then if God does not leave the guilty unpunished? Good point. You see, one thing is clear in Scripture. Even though our Heavenly Father longs to pour out his affection, love, and mercy in a prodigal manner, the fact is, he is a holy God who must punish the guilty. But once we understand this mystery, we will realize that our Heavenly Father is more of a prodigal than we could ever imagine. You see, the reason that God is able to pour out his affection, love, and mercy on the sinners in a prodigal manner is that he has not left the guilty unpunished. Our Heavenly Father sent his one and only Son to the cross with your sin and my sin on his back, and there God punished the guilty. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we sinners are able to return home to our prodigal father. Our gospel reading for today is from Luke chapter 15. In our gospel reading, we learn that God longs to be merciful to sinners. But if you read on in Luke's gospel to Luke chapter 22, there you will learn how it is possible for God to be merciful to sinners. For example, in Luke chapter 22, we can read these words of Jesus, which he spoke during the Last Supper. He said, "This is my body given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Here Jesus speaks about Holy Communion, wherein we receive the very body and blood that he gave and shed in our place of punishment. Later on in Luke chapter 22, we can read the words that Jesus prayed while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now you need to understand something. The cup that Jesus talked about in his prayer refers to the cup of God's wrath that he must pour out on the guilty. Scripture is clear that even though God is love, he is holy and just, and he must pour his wrath out upon the guilty. So when Jesus talks about the cup that he will receive from his Father's hand, he's referring to his death on the cross, where God will punish the guilty. Just think of it. The Father was willing to punish his own Son in your place and my place, so that we could return home and receive his prodigal affection, love, and mercy. Now at this point in the sermon, we realize that there is a choice before us. We have all strayed from home like the prodigal son. We are guilty of squandering God's inheritance in a sinful way. We deserve to be spiritual orphans for all eternity. The question is, will we cling to our rebellion and remain in a foreign land? turning away from our Father and ignoring Him? Or will we admit our guilt, acknowledge our sin, and go home? God longs to forgive us, and the proof is that He was willing to punish His own Son in our place so that no one would have to spend eternity as a spiritual orphan. But the fact is, we cannot receive that forgiveness unless we acknowledge our sin and return home. My friends, God doesn't want anybody to spend eternity as a spiritual orphan. And so our Father pleads with us while we still have time. He pleads with us to acknowledge our sin and come home. He calls us to come home in repentance, believing that for Christ's sake, He will receive us with recklessly extravagant affection, lavish love, and luxuriant mercy. And you know what? Once we realize how much our prodigal Father loves us, once we realize how good we have it in our Father's home, once we realize that all His plans for our lives, as revealed to us in His Word, are what's really best for us, once we realize this, we will never want to leave home again. Instead, we will long to embrace our loving Father and hang out with Him for all eternity. We will long to serve Him here and now in a prodigal manner. My friends, today God has used His Word to call us to our senses. That's why it's so important to be in church and in Bible class, because it's through the hearing and reading of God's Word that He calls us to our senses, so that we do not foolishly stray from Him, but instead return home to Him every day in repentance and faith. God has called you here today. Today we have confessed our sins, and we have been embraced by our prodigal Father. Our prodigal Father who gives life to the dead and finds those who are lost. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.